That's correct. When I said yesterday about why we don't wash, and he has a whole mahalach.
So this is fear of the law, 9 days.
It means something spiritual. The clothing represents something spiritual. That's the idea. Clothing represents something very spiritual. So why don't we wash during the 9 days? Why not wash? We need to wash, after all. Because if clothing is a spiritual thing, so that's why before the Torah was given, it's not by coincidence that we were told to wash ourselves and wash our clothes. What's this washing? Who cares? You wash. If you need to wash, you wash. You'll figure it out yourself. So it means that you're alluding to deep spiritual ideas. He said also with Esther, he said she put on, she guarded herself in malchus, which means the Gemara says Ruach HaKodesh. You just saw in Daf Yomi. This garbing oneself, clothing, alludes to very high things. So washing and not washing is a difference. That's more or less what he says. He says a lot more. He says that's why Adam didn't have clothes before. Adam didn't have clothes before. He didn't need them because he was on a level where he needed protection. Clothing is protection. So it protects a person. So again, this idea that our protection, our connections, all, when you realize that there's tremendous deficiency, this great deficiency, very deficient. So what do I do? How do I fix that? How do I overcome that? So one thing is to be aware. That's what the Nussan explains. He said, we have to realize that we're misjudging a lot. We're not judging ourselves properly. So when we judge below, there's no judgments above. So we need to learn how to say, you know, I have to change direction. I have to change course. Change course. I can change course. I just hit the brakes. So the first thing is like just, I'm just going to deprive certain things, what we can handle, we deprive. So, okay, let's take a little stop here. And of course, for our tradition, many things is only from the week of Tisha B'Av itself. Ashkenazic tradition, we start from 3 weeks before, but the 9 days is the main time. And we want to, because the Kaddish to Magid says, you need a background. When you're going to make a picture, you're going to do some art. You need a beautiful background. You need the right kind of background. You can't just say, oh, I don't care what canvas I use. I don't care how dirty it is. I don't care what it is. You need to have the right background to allow the art to come out. If you don't have any background, it can be very, very hard and you can mess up the whole picture. So this is the time when we build the background. That's these 3 weeks. These 3 weeks correspond exactly to the 3 weeks of between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. Same idea, again, this idea of that we are making a background and then we're creating a picture, creating the new direction for Hashem, bringing the light in. So the first thing is to make a vessel and create something I can bring the light into my life. And that is through depriving myself of these different things. So the one thing again is this idea of washing. That's one of the concepts that he speaks about. So that's part of the Makor Chayim. This is a lot, but that's tipsy. Malvish Alumni.
You know, they have cities of refuge in the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So, for observant Jews, why don't they have cities of the 9 days?
I mean,
we're left in the world, we're still functioning in the world.
That's right.
Maybe we should take the world away from us for many years.
Halavai will do it right. Halavai, we try. It's a beautiful idea. Trying to create this place where I'm going to change. I'm trying to find a way. How do I change? But Nassim says those cities of refuge of Muna. So there's 48 of them. 48 words in Shema. Shema and Behafta. 48 words. The first six Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Those are six. The Emunah. You get the Emunah, everything's okay. You're protected from all the stupid things you might have messed up by accident, on purpose. Just hold on to Emunah and everything gets fixed. That's what you really want to bring Hashem in your life. If you're sincere, everything gets fixed. Everything's rectified.
We had a course called The 48 Ways.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on Turkey, but I think it was And from there, they took the 12 steps, which led to the 12-step program, which is just expanded to, you name it, they have it.
Not perfect. Even if I don't want to wear the clothes now, I cannot wash. No washing. Wash them after 9 days. And things which were washed before also, one should not wear, should not put on the bed, one sheet, in a place where it's really, really, really hot, and you sweat, you have to change at least the undershirt, the underclothing at least, and that's the Ben Shchad brings, this is idea, that's really what the Lachay is, except for someone unusual, most people, you can't handle it. It's just too much. It's not. None of this is supposed to be painful per se. It's not supposed to be that over the top for a person. Personally, if I'm very sensitive, so it's not. I'm not supposed to be. I'm not supposed to overdo it. Oh, good. So I'm mortifying myself. No, it's supposed to be to a certain level. So when it's over that, when it's really painful, a person he doesn't have to deal with, he doesn't have to worry. But Moshe even says a person who's used to taking a shower every single day and lives in New York or somewhere very humid or very hot, and he just can't be without his shower. So he says, there's no way he can't use soap, he can't use cold water or coldish water. He said, but I can't tell you either, because you're, again, it's just like even during the 7 days of mourning, when a person is in istinus, it really bothers him. So again, he's not supposed to suffer all that over the, he's not supposed to be over the top. There are different customs of how to, each person has to know himself, has to be really that to his situation. He says, you should really put on things first, and prepare them for a half hour or however long you need to until it becomes used, it doesn't feel new, and then you can prepare the women's clothing during these 9 days. On Shabbos, there's a little trick for people who wear. For them, like let's say if you wear a white shirt, or if the shirt you wear during the week you would wear on Shabbos, so then you can also sort of prepare garments in a way that's not recognizably preparing for the weekday. So, for example, what you do is Friday night you wear one outfit, and the next morning you wear another, you take a nap, you have another one, you can change, that's not a fun. If you go changing, when it's obviously preparing for the weekday, it's not okay. You can't just prepare the weekday, you have to Shabbos.
You aren't allowed to shower,
right? It depends on you. Depends on you. The truth is, for very many chassidim, it doesn't make a difference because the custom is to go to the mikveh anyway. So then you're in the mikveh. I don't know if you need the shower necessarily, but at least it's not like you're not in covered water for 9 days. On the contrary, every single day you go into water. So some places make the mikveh not so hot, other places are more lenient, which is all based on, I'm not really sure what. How can they make it so hot? I don't know why. I don't know. Yes, so the Ben Ishchai says this eitz I just said is from the Ben Ishchai as well. Even handkerchiefs or tablecloths you're not allowed to launder. So handkerchiefs a person to his nose and needs, that's okay. Even for children who are not education age, it's still not okay. If they soil the garments, children soil garments, so some people permit 3-year-old children, you don't protest, you don't protest that. But have to be careful, don't do a lot at once, and do it in private. A Jewish woman cannot wash things in a non-Jewish woman's house, non-Jewish house, because it looks like they're washing themselves. Maybe it's a Jew's clothing. If it's clear that it's a non-Jew's clothing, the person she works as a maid or something and it's not a Jew's house, so then it's okay. As long as you can tell it's not a Jewish clothing. And if she has to do it for her living, she can wash in her own home, across her own home. That's how the Ben Ishchai comes out. Okay, this is another thing that Mekor Chaim says. He said, this period is commemorating the loss of two very important sets of clothes. Royal clothes, the king, and the clothes of the Kohanim. So therefore, because this is a time when clothing is
we lost our the garments that are the ultimate garments. So we're very like garments. We can't wander. We're supposed to remind ourselves. That's how we. That's what he explains.
He has a little bit of revenge, but that's kids.
Who explains this?
The Makor Chaim. Makor Chaim is a Talmud of Rav Chaim Vital. Chaim from Aram Tzova. He says, now we know that everything you do below, as he points out, has a counterpart above. He says, because above it's like the clothing is all messed up, you don't launder and that's how he explains it. It's not, that's what a little bit behind what this halacha is about. So Ben Ishkai continues, even though Jewish launderer, if the Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av is on Thursday, Thursday, you can't wash on Friday for some reason. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says a non-Jewish launderer is allowed to deal with it, even though it's Tisha B'Av. Because you won't have clothing for Shabbos. What's going to be? You have no choice. So in that situation, he permits such a thing. Shabbos in general, we'll see. He doesn't talk about it, but this is the place to talk about it. In general, there are two pathways for Shabbos. It's the same thing with during mourning. Is also the same idea. Can you wear your Shabbos clothing on this Shabbos? Some say you can, some say you can't. Those who say you can't, because what's the difference? It's Shabbos, but we want to remember the morning. Same thing with during the Haftorah with like Eicha. You say like Eicha, missing something where we feel it a little bit on Shabbos even. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says one should not do any change, not like the Rama. No changes, you don't take down a Kodesh off, and you don't the Prophets, you don't. None of these things on Shabbos, we don't do no change of Shabbos clothing because it is a denigrated Shabbos. So again, this is the Rakim is the same idea. For his world, there's no such thing as a Shabbos where you change your clothing. Maybe if Shabbos is Tisha B'Av, probably also not even that, because that's already Shur Shachal for Tisha B'Av before, and then you do whatever you do on Shabbos, presumably. We'll see if he talks about it. But certainly, one thing was certain is that I can't on Shabbos. I don't want to do something which is recognizably not honoring Shabbos because of this time, the other time, but Shabbos is the way we fix the time.
Doesn't that make sense? Because if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbat, Tisha B'Av is pushed off. So why wouldn't we push off the minhagim of Tisha B'Av on Shabbat anyway?
For sure. The question is it proper?
I mean, like the 9 days.
100% no, but is it proper? Is it proper during this time to do something, or isn't it? It's the same thing. Again, mourning is the same idea. Same thing in terms of a person's a mourner, Chas V'Shalom. Does he wear all of his Shabbos garments? What does he do? Mm-hmm. So he can't do things which are totally too recognizably mourning, but for Hesha, but what does he do? How does so? One is Menachem the person, that L'chayr is okay. I mean, he is a mourner, he's missing whatever he's missing. But how do I deal with him? Does he have any halakha constraints? Can he do this? He can do this. So the chassidim, the codifiers of chassidim, they take that exact view. They're like, Shabbos, don't get in the way of Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. You don't. On the contrary, you're making a blemish. You're trying to fix things. That's the way you fix everything from Shabbos.
Yeah.
The others, not chassidim, they say, no, there are certain sources. Not so simple. Not so simple. What's the difference? Well, if you go in a lot of shuls, you're going to learn half Torah with a different, with the Eicha, like in it, like Eicha. Chazor. I've seen it, many of them don't. They just say, it's again, it's not proper, Shabbos. You're not supposed to be saying this is a dirge. It's not going to bring you the joy of Shabbos exactly, to say the least. So that's again the question here. What's better? What do I. So Shabbos in general, the Arizal explains that Shabbos is not clear what's a Avelus. He says a Avelus is that there's something missing, and the person is really trying to help the neshama, what's left, and help ourselves also, because part of us is also missing. That's why the Gemara tells us that people are mourning, it's like there's a knife on them. or 7 days. It's not simple. It's not pashut. It's a very, very hard time. So what is Shabbos? So the reason it's not clear whether that's fixed all the way or just your Shabbos, but sort of limping along. He brings, he says, his mahalach, what exactly is missing or what exactly comes in that might fix that during that time. So it's not clear, it's left unclear. And of course, that's the whole, the ultimate suffix. Ultimate suffix is the bechina of dealing with, the bechina of death is the hardest thing to deal with. It's the hardest thing to really keep a moon in the face of such a thing. It's very not, very, very not simple. It's a tremendously high level for a person, even when they're not even confronted, but they see they're going to be confronted, to keep their head, stay relaxed. We saw Salanter when he was, last hours, he was in an inn somewhere. The innkeeper was very afraid. He'd never been with someone who died. I think he was in Germany, if I'm not mistaken. And he spent his last moments explaining to him, you don't have to worry, it's okay. It's like comforting him to keep the perspective that to be able, for him to say, when I'm dead, don't worry, and it's okay. And that's like a level which we can't even begin to, we don't get that level. That's like a really high place to be in. There's even a story with Rabbi Yashiv. One time he came to Rabbi Yashiv, I told him about a certain father, husband, who had a very advanced form of a rare cancer or something like that, a terrible, terrible problem. And the doctor said, this man's got 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and he's not here anymore. So he said, there is a therapy one can do in America, but the chances are, I mean, 1 in 1,000 is a little bit, way too positive. Like, I don't know what, is it 1 in 10,000, 1 in 5, it's like very remotely unlikely that it's going to do anything positive. It's very painful. And, you know, the guy's got 2 weeks, he's going to fly him to America, pay a tremendous expense, because he has no coverage. And for what? The 1 in 10,000, 5,000, 3,000, 1,000 chance? Seems a little bit cruel to him and cruel to his family. Like, this is what it is, this is what it is. So he said, no, you don't have to fly. So his wife was sitting there. He wasn't there, he was in the hospital. His wife, she said, listen, according to what you're saying, sounds like I'm going to be, this is what she said, she's going to be a widow. Her children are going to be orphans for the next couple of weeks. He says, so children, they're very, very, they have very penetrating analysis of things. And I have to be ready to answer the questions. And one question I'm for sure going to get is, did we do everything to save us? Do we do everything or not? So I accept it. That's what it's supposed to be. I accept 100%, whatever Hashem wants. But what do I tell my kids? Do I say yes? If I say yes, you say, I say yes, then that's it. I'll say it. The Rav said yes, finished. Not, so then maybe we should do something. I don't know. So he turned to the Skana, the people who come there to try to help and work out what to do. He said, go right now, buy a ticket, take him to America. Do the therapy. And they're like, it's Friday. You're going to violate Shabbos? I mean, we just came out. He said, go right now, take him to America and do the therapy. That's what he said. So they bought a ticket. They flew on Shabbos. They went to the clinic on Shabbos. They saw David on Shabbos. They started, the guy's also this. But, you know, his condition, this is very unlikely to succeed. You have to know that it's very expensive. So whatever it is, this is what we're doing. And he got better. They were astounded. They said, what happened? We were sitting there. We didn't see any change. He said, not to go. Then he said, to go, and it worked. What happened? So they asked him, what happened? He said, listen, I was going on a simple, like, I seeing a picture where it's almost impossible to help. And it seems to be a big waste of resources. And for what? Like, it's just too remote. There's a certain point where it's too remote. It's way too remote. He said, but the minute I see that this woman who has such profound emunah, she has such bitachon, such faith in Hashem, she's going to say, okay, whatever it is, I accept. Now let's try to move on. What will happen afterwards? Well, how will I deal with the kids? As a lonely young widow. And if she has such a moon, he said, you have to get a chance, because anything can work. It can work. Her moon, it's not a 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000. It's a moon. A moon can do anything. You have the power of, like, dealing with death, like the hardest thing you possibly. So again, this morning is called, on the one hand, it's a Avodas Hashem. It's an old morning. It's not a new morning. It's not something we don't feel it the same way as Chas V'Shalom. It's just not. It's not profound for most people. They're just not really there. We're sort of very remote, the place in English. She doesn't know what you're talking about. The place in English doesn't. You know, we do these customs. He doesn't really get the. You know, I once heard one very important rabbi, actually. He said, great scholar. He said, this is our daily complaint. Just get your complaints out to Hashem. That's not the usual real approach. Like, we want to do tshuva. But we're not. So, what are we doing? But anyway, it's very not simple to really, really be 100% there and clear and see. You know, that we're missing something very important to the world. Something's missing here. The Gerald said this, and the Gerald said that the simple farmer, when he was first raised in Midrash, he said, we don't even understand His Holiness. He wasn't learned, and he wasn't on a high level, but he had so much more than we have. We don't even get him. We can't picture who he was, what he was feeling, where he was. We don't understand it. And that's what we're missing. We're missing the Beis HaMikdash. And we're missing everything. Everything we're missing in the world. We want peace, right? We want all sorts of good things. That's all the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. There's just nothing there.
Yeah, I just don't understand why we don't have the day. I mean, because really, the day HaMikdash is for Hashem, right? So why don't we have one?
We haven't opened the door to our heart yet. No, it's closed. That's the problem. You don't want. So okay, no problem. Which is too bad. It's our problem. It is a problem. It's our problem. We don't understand it. You know,
we have to take the next step.
The next many steps. But yes,
people are taking the next step because these last month and a half, people have been changing. People have been davening. People that would normally not daven are davening. People are pouring their hearts out, helping everyone else, helping the soldiers, doing whatever they can, because they get hourly wake-up calls down south and in Tel Aviv. We've had wake-up calls. You don't want these wake-up calls. And then you have the 9 days. The 9 days haven't even started. And things are happening.
Yes, there are wake-up calls. We have to wake up. Hopefully we will one of these days. We are a little bit, you're right. There's achdus, it's very good. There's some davening going on, a lot of strong davening, but if you have a soldier in mind, davening for this person, have you in mind, this person, but still not what it could be. There's Hashem, hopefully, this time we'll do it. See, after the Shema, the Baal Shem Tov says this time, the time of the Bnei Metzorim is like, he said, it's like when you have a diamond, you need to hide. So you have a pretty big house. You have lots of different rooms. So the room with the worst shmatas, it's horrible. Like it's all mildewed. It's all, no one wants to walk in there. So that's where you put the diamond, because no thief's going to think it's going to be this. And it's the same thing. This time, Beinim Mitzorim, right? Kol Rodfeah Yisigua Beinim Mitzorim. All those who pursued her, caught her during this, between the straits. He says, Hisigua is Hisig Yud K. You get Hashem when you're searching for Hashem in this time. That's the Bosham understood. So this is a special time. We can really pick it up and do tremendous things. We have such a power now. We have such a koach. We have so much strength to do unbelievable things. We just have to try to use it. And it's so hard.
We're organized better than we've ever been. We have 3 rooms that are going to be, who knows? We don't know how much power we have. There's 3 mothers. There's no idea.
That's true. So Hashem says, Tam schus chus avos, but not schus imos. That the mothers still have this chus.
And there's nothing like hearing the siren do.
Shofar, it's like the shofar, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Alright. During the week of Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to wear anything new. No new clothing can you wear. White, colored. So the Mekor Chaim again comes up with his wondrous and amazing ideas, as usual. He says, this is a time when we are spiritually without clothes. Malbish Arumim, without clothes. So what does that mean? Now Rizal explains, Malbish Arumim. You say, Hashem, you clothe the naked. Well, what about if you slept in pajamas? I mean, maybe you slept in your clothes. You don't say the bracha. You say the bracha. So you see, we do it for the savior of the world. What does that mean, the savior of the world? What if everyone was sleeping in their clothing after you were unclothed and you clothed? So anyway, the Ari Hesed says much deeper meaning to this. He says, Arum and Mish had no schos. We messed up so much yesterday. I ruined so much yesterday. There's nothing, there's no reason to come back. No, I haven't got the right to come back. Nevertheless, he says, Hashem is malbish me also. He gives me back my soul. So you can have it back anyway. There's a middle level, which is Noi says, Layayev Koyach, I didn't do too badly yesterday. I only made myself, I should wake up weary and spiritually just dead. But I still have a freshness because Hashem gives me Nosan Layayev Koyach. So it says, Malbish a moment. We're without clothing. We don't have those clothes. We're broken to pieces. You're going to wear new clothes now? He says, this is just not the time for that. It's just not right. We are Arum. We are without any, we're unclothed. That's how the Makor Chayim explains it. Shechina is without clothing, without something missing. He said, again, so he continues. He said, we have our garments. We have good garments. We have garments from the husks, one or the other. He said, now we're seeing we have garments from not the greatest garments. He said, so the Shechina has garments from the other side. So we have to, we can't wear new garments now. That's how he explains based on the Zohar. So we are a reflection of Hashem's presence in the world. It's our job to bring Hashem's presence to the world. It's a little harder to do that now, though if you search you can find the highest things, but it's not so easy. So we need to be careful not to wear new things now. It's arouse something above which we're not there at all. That's what he basically says. Kes. He said, sewing garments is prohibited during this week. The custom is to forbid from Rosh Chodesh. Again, from the minhag of the custom, Ashkenazim is from Rosh Chodesh. All of this stuff, we do everything, at least from Rosh Chodesh. So it says, even if you're a tailor, you can't make garments this time. The Chida brings the Rav Yaakov Emdin, that the problem is also weaving and this sort of thing. Therefore, if you're a weaver, you're not allowed to work in this week or 9 days. So to tell your family, no sewing things during this time. Like a little care maybe, but not to make sewing, not to make embroidery.
Even if you're not going to make clothes?
L'chayrin not. So he brings it, if it's out of wood, if it's a wooden thing, even if it's part of a garment, because that's not what they prohibited, and if you what he was saying, the idea is garment. So yes, I guess if you're embroidering, if it's not something which is just for joy, it's part of a garment, so that's what he's talking about, you're doing embroidery, you're doing something which is made of wood, that's okay. Joy, something that's just to bring joy to your heart, this is not the time to do those sort of things for sure. Even gardening that's going to bring joy, beautify, make it wondrous in your life, this is not the time to do that either. Everything is missing.
How about shoes, like a pair of black shoes?
He says here right now, he says, tell the sandlers, the shoemakers and the tailors not to make new. Don't even make socks, he says. He said, but if you have no choice, this is your parnassus, this is your food. Without this, you can't really eat.
Would it be also, like, before Shabbat, to prepare your shoes? Like, if you have, like, 10 o'clock shoes, to, like, some people are, like, Baltimore or something, you know?
As far as I remember, that's okay.
Yeah.
For Shabbos, I think so. Yeah. I think that's okay. I didn't mean to say for a look, but I think that comes out to be okay because it's not, it's preparing for Shabbos. It's better before Shabbos. So better before the week of. It's better to have it ready. It's good enough. But to say it's usher, chayr not. Yeah, it's no different than a mikveh. That's what you do every week.
Right.
That's what you do every week. That's part of my Shabbos preparations. The Rebbe said, if you go to the mikveh every Friday, you can go in this time also.
Yeah.
Sitting in, like you said, we extrapolate even every day.
Yeah.
It's a big kiddush, but that's how he explains.
Did a person buy sandals or shoes?
Only will you need for Tisha B'Av if you don't have. It's better to buy before. If I don't have shoes for Tisha B'Av, those I can buy. Anything else I shouldn't. Now, if things are on sale, and for some reason you can't get them later, then there is room for leniency. You don't have to. If you have no choice, you have no choice. Next week is much worse. But it's better than to get something like Crocs or something that's theoretically not, maybe important to some, not a shoe. It's a whole question, what exactly can you wear on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? Some people go in socks, it's not so simple. The custom of most wear considered to be istinus, like even if you want to say that it's problematic halachically, we just can't walk around without like, even flip flops, like nothing. Like some people say, I can't walk in this. We have to have decent shoes. You make sure they're not out of leather. You don't have a choice. But it's not so. It's definitely much better to have simpler, not the most fancy schmancy. You know, Nike came out without leather. Wow, it's perfect. You know, feel have the shoes. I like them better than a wheat day. I mean, that's not what it's supposed to be. Even if it's only made out of plastic or whatever it's made out of, I don't care. That's So Yashu says the Crocs are so comfortable. He says that's the, I wear Crocs during the year, and I wear also on Tisha B'Av because it's not a leather. Like, he said, that's for sure not okay. Like, what do you mean here?
They have some really inexpensive trainers or sneakers that are just canvas on top and then a plain sole, and they're really inexpensive.
Many people wear those. It's true, and like again, the people they feel the best they need to have that. I can't walk around in flip flops. I just can't do it. Can't do it, let's say. I mean, I actually do it more or less, but, or sandals, but like, you have someone who says, I need support, I can't do it. And, okay, there is room for leniency. You can't say that nobody permits. That's the custom. Custom is people don't put it. Big question marks on it. We're holding by more. So when they give these people who work for a living, for Rosh Chodesh, shoes and things to fix or to make, they can work until the week of Tisha B'Av. But if they didn't give it to you before Rosh Chodesh, then for sure you can't be working on it, even the week before. The 9 days, you're not to work on any of these things. British sources. He said, and that to rely on this leniency is only in the place where that was the custom. So you can't just make it like suddenly. So they gave you first, that was what the custom. He needs it for the panasa. You can rely on that. I said, but if that's not the custom, you can't just do it. They have to be stringent. We hold like Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch makes no differentiation. I mean, for us, it's even more. Like, forget about it. Even Rosh Chodesh, we don't throw Rosh Chodesh, it's not proper. If he doesn't have what to eat at all, then he's allowed to do even the week of Tisha B'Av. He doesn't have a choice. What is he supposed to do? Don't eat fast 3-4 days like you can. What am I supposed to do? I have no choice. But you have to know when you really have no choice. There's, Zilberstein brings down a story of these two guys. They saw in a shul, maybe a Moshe shul, I'm not sure. I think someone wrote he wants to hire someone to minister or an estate in the Catskills or something like that. And the time to come for hiring was during the 9 days. So both of them, you know, they really needed a job. And one guy is like, well, you know, going to a job interview, I can't come looking like some kind of schlepper. So he took a haircut and he took a shave. So the guy was like, listen, I'm not, you know, basically, do as I'll get the job, I'll show up as is. So they both showed up and, you know, first guy came, he just came in, spoke with the owner, turned out the person was hiring. The next guy comes in and says, that's so strange, you came to an interview like so unkempt, not shaving, your hair's looking out. I mean, it's the first time I've ever seen someone like, is everything okay with you? Like, what did you, it's very strange. I have to, you seem to be put together, but that's weird. So he said, well, actually, there's a halacha. During this time, you're not allowed to shave because we're missing a mikdash. You're not allowed to. She said, what? What about your friend? So he called him in. He said, I understand you. You have the, if Jewish law says that you're a religious Jew, so what's your, well, for a job, those are permitted. I learned. He said, the only reason why I hung this in the shul is because Jewish people who keep their religion and have a lot of integrity, I found. He said, so I'm hiring him. I can't. So he lost out his, you know, I heard another story. Harsh tells a story, I think, of a guy. He went on a date, also somebody booked him in for a date, it was not the Tisha B'Av to do a shave or haircut. And the girl's like, wow, you look like you just get a haircut and a little shave. He said, yeah, 4 days. She's like, I don't want to marry someone like that. And they went the opposite way. Like, you know, so sometimes it doesn't work out the way you planned. You know? I think you're doing a good idea. It's not always such a smart idea. You could sew a tear or if the seam opened or sew a patch. Those are all okay. So just sewing a new garment, that's the problem. Okay. Here's the piece. So he explains like this. He says there's a very big difference between putting on a new garment or sewing a new garment, and all I'm doing is repairing what I have. There's a very, very big difference. When you put on a new garment, it's a reflection on high of something new, something happening, which is not the time for it. He said when I just sew a patch, make a little repair, that's really what this time is all about. I'm supposed to realize that I'm missing something, like Rav Yochum says. Since Tisha B'Av is called a Moed, a holiday. Rav Shlomo Zalman Rabach says it's counterintuitive. You would think Tisha B'Av, you for sure take Tachanun. Day of mourning, right? It seems like obvious. You shouldn't say Tachanun, Tisha B'Av. He said, nobody holds you say Tachanun Tisha B'Av. Purim, when you think, obviously you don't say Tachanun, there is an opinion that you say Tachanun. We don't hold that way, but there is such a thing, it's possible, the entertaining a possibility of Tachanun is on Purim more than Tisha B'Av. So you don't even get why, which is, that's what he says. So, it's called a Moed, it's called a holiday. It's going to be on a simple level, it's because it's going to be a holiday. But what's the holiday about? So he says, a very interesting, he said, knowing your fault is also a very big thing. When I know that I'm missing, when I know that I need to change, things have to become better, I need to repair, so then that's a great, great situation to be in. So that's why I can repair. You can repair. You're supposed to repair. You're supposed to take your old garments and repair. Not to be trying to be new, but repair, so I have things are fixed. That's on a simple level.
What if you want to leave it for the next time?
Well, it's not so smart. That's the truth, because
what was the question?
What if you want to, you know, I don't want to repair, why should I put myself out, let the other guy repair a little more. So the Shalai Gulim, the recent Shalai Gulim, that every person, there are different people, different sources, with a different shorish, different roots. People are connecting the roots. When they don't do their job, it goes to someone else who did his job, but then he loses all the, like, a lot of reward, a lot of great things he gives over. That's why the Gemara tells about, you get the Olam HaBa, the Gan Eden of somebody else. It doesn't mean all of it, but it means part of it. Because you didn't do the work, and he did. So, haba. We can. I don't know, we can always fix, we can do our best. But, like, you're losing or missing something. Why do that? You know. Especially, how hard is it to repair? All we need to do is yearn. We just need to yearn. And ask Hashem, please help me stop, you know, all my bad character traits holding me back, whatever it may be. Might be the screen I'm looking at, it might be my incredible laziness, it might be my smoking, I don't know, whatever it is holding me back and keeping me under the thumb, might be my overeating, whatever it may be, each one according to his, my temper, my jealousy, my, oh, whatever it may be, you know, all these different nice things that we indulge in, and they really hold us back. Like the Rambam says, they are, and the Chaim Vital also, that is the foundation of everything, the midos, good midos, the getting things together. It's very hard to really ascend. They don't have the right, proper character traits worked out. So it's very, very hard. So when I say, what's the difference? I'll do that later. It's always time.
Yeah, maybe I do so, but it's not true at all. The Brahman says you need to know two things. He said, first of all, never give up. There's always enough time. But second of all, it's late. And actually, they also have the same message. The Rebbe has two clocks. First clock is it's late, and the second clock is it's never too late. But it's the same way Nelson says, he said, always realize you have exactly enough time from this instant. But not too much. You don't have time to blow, you don't have time to burn. But not too late either. It's not too late, but we have just enough time. Go! You know, we have to really feel this. It's very, you know, maybe one day we'll be Zoha to really, really understand it. Say, you know, I can't. I'm walking down the street, I have to think about Hashem, I have to do this photos, because this time doesn't come back. Grab it, chaper, and it's forever. Fix, repair, do that little, another little fixing, another little each thing that adds up together until you're making what you need to make, doing, fulfilling our mission, doing our mission.
How do we know when, you know, when Tisha B'Av turns into a Yom Tov?
Tisha B'Av is a Yom Tov. Tisha B'Av is going to turn into Yom Tov.
That's what I mean. When,
on a simple level, it means for times to come. On a deeper level, it means even now, knowing my problems is a Yom Tov. When I know my troubles, Yom Tov. There's a the Chiddush Arim. Chiddush Arim asked a question on the Shulchan Aruch. He said, in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, we find it says you're supposed to mourn if you are half profane, you're a Shemayim. If you have a fear of heaven, you mourn. Person of this caliber should mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Chiddush Arim asks, he says, I don't understand. If you don't have fear of heaven, you shouldn't mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Like, it's only like a club for people with fear of heaven. That doesn't seem to be correct somehow. He says, no, you don't understand. If you don't have fear of heaven, mourn your lack of fear of heaven. He said, work on that. Then work on the Beis HaMikdash. Some people go, Beis HaMikdash, where are you? Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know, me. It's like, you have to get that fear of heaven together. Get it together. I think Rav Nosson brings this idea, if not in the Sefer Chabad, I think, this idea of Yira. The word Yira is the same letters as Re'iyah, which means to see. Yira means to see. So the Rebbe says there's three types of Yira. Three different types of Yira. He says the Zohar says there are two Yiras. One Yira is just you're afraid of punishment. Ramak says this is a very dangerous Yira because you can be afraid of the stick and not Hashem. You forgot Hashem. Well, if I'm not a good boy, I'm going to tow my car. Okay, that's not a great, that's not the highest level, exactly. It's like you forget about Hashem. What about come close to Hashem? Forget about that. I like this car. You know, it's like, that's not it. You know, that's not proper. He's afraid of the malachim that are giving him trouble. But he's afraid. Then there's a higher level of Yiras HaNoham. It's a person afraid because he doesn't want to lose his connection to Hashem. He feels so close, such an awe. The Rebbe says there's a higher level of Yira, a third level. So this is the Yira of real sight, where you know that, the way Rav Nosson explains it, you know, the Rebbe went to the mikvah and shavuos, it came out, he said, now I still have another Yira. So you know that it counts now, and you can change everything for the better now, and that means it's so vital to you that you know it matters now, and I have to do my best for now. So that, and that's from the lowest level to the highest level, whoever you are. So the fact that I can't hide from Hashem is everywhere, every second, that means it counts now anyway, and I have to do everything I can. So Rav says, you'll definitely be happy. Because you know it counts, it still matters. I still matter. The year brings the joy, automatically. Not you're on the level, you feel this high level year of Hashem, the awe of Hashem. No. So you have real you understand that. It counts still, and it matters, and everything I do, every movement I do makes a difference now. And you feel tremendous joy just from that. That's how Rav Nosson explains. Very, very, very long piece about it. Wondrous piece. Really wondrous piece. So we need to fix. Try to fix this issue. You want to weave garments. The custom is not to fix by weaving. Shasi is the way, I think the way you repair a garment, is again, you take it, you sort of, that type of repair, the shasi, is something up with one of the, how to say, the woof and the,
woof and the weave.
Yeah, woof and the weave. So you want to sort of, there's something missing there, you're going to add to the shasi,
that's not okay. I think that's what he's talking about. If not, so it's the end of the garments, maybe. That's where you have just that part. He said, that you don't fix even. That's the custom. He said, why? Because the Beis HaMikdash had the stone called the Evan HaShasia. The whole world was woven from that. So we don't play with that.
So they're talking about reweaving the garment.
I think so.
Where
the bottom
a small piece.
I think.
And
I'm not sure.
Interlay it so that you literally weave the threads together.
I'm not 100% sure. I really don't know. I think that's what they're talking about. It's not talking about fixing it at the end of it. I imagine they're talking about like what I said originally, like you
like
said.
When you have a moth hole.
I think so, yeah.
Because I've taken in garments, especially suits with moths, have a three-course meal on it.
No way.
And they literally take this they take a little patch in the bottom of the trousers that's hidden, and then just carefully reweave it in by thread by thread.
Wow. Shabbos is a whole mahalach here. What this means? This is every single constriction, every single work. Comes out from this Evan HaShasia. The whole world was formed through this stone, so it's all connecting to this stone. So that's the root of everything. That's the Kodesh Kodesh in Evan HaShasia. Everything that you need to do, you need a special seichel to do it. Whatever I need to do, I need to have my understanding to be able to do it right, to be able to understand what Hashem wants to do it, and keep Hashem in mind with it. I have to work on it. So I have to balance that, and this is a time when we're totally missing our ability to connect and have seichel. It's totally, everything is missing. We don't have a way of making it clear. So what we do is we don't. It's a custom. It's not prohibited per se, but the custom is that people, they do not weave now. It's not done. Again, the weaving of the, I think it means repairing. I'm not 100% sure. It might mean the very bottom of the garment and with that. I think it means the repairing the, in that way. Unlike a tear, which you can just sew it, this is worse in its way because there is a similarity to the. We need to weave out this beautiful, wondrous ore, and now the whole thing is like, what's there? There's a holiness there, but what's there? Where is the essence of the holiness? The Menil Diskin, he lived in the old city. And he said he lost many years of his life because every time he saw the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, he felt a tremendous pain. Cried. He said, you can't bear to look. This is the Beis HaMikdash. The place of Beis HaMikdash is just desperate. Like he really, the father, he really felt it.
So well, not only that, it's burning up there.
Oy, Shem Yirachem. Shem should help. Shem protect us. No, he's talking about the beginning of garment. I forgot how. Again, these technical things don't really, unfortunately, go in one ear out the other. He said, when you're first starting a garment, you make the woof or the weave, whatever it is, and that's a very big joy. It's just beginning. So even though it's the beginning, you don't go into garment because there's joy there. That's the Beis Chai is talking about. That's what he means. I don't know about weaving. I'm not sure. I could look. I don't remember. But actually, yeah, that's Hebrew Sedition here. And the bush also.
So they're talking about simply making the cloth.
I think so. Yeah, that's what it seems to be. The very beginning of it, it's a very big joy. It's just making threads is also okay. If you need it for parnasa, it's not the same. It's not the same joy.
But then with their simple garments, you're just folding and making one seam, and then making another seam for the arms and sewing those on.
Uh-huh. You can. I mean, again, you're not supposed to sew a garment now because of the. We don't have garments. We don't have any garments. So, at the beginning stage, when you think that's okay, that's not okay. That's what he's saying.
We make clothes. We have a factory.
Sometimes there's no choice. Guys will lose a lot of money. Shabbos is different, but to the 3 weeks is like, what am I supposed to do? I can't afford this. Even building, And I'm supposed to build this way, or that way. So I'm going to do this, I have to pay these people, I can't afford it, or it's difficult for me. You don't have to take a loss for it. That's the thing that I'm paying.
But you can schedule things like that, or maybe you can't.
Yeah, possibly.
Because like concrete takes weeks to dry completely.
That's true. He's talking about like renovating. I have a friend who just bought a house. And he said, I'm going to need they're going to do renovations there for 3 months. He said, if we continue now, I'll be able to move in my new house in Sukkot and I won't have to pay my rent or whatever it is for another month. Otherwise, I'm paying another month's rent. What do I do? So it says if it's a hefsid, you're allowed to, if you're going to lose money, you're allowed to continue people building. That's joy. It's not you're not building a house. You're not building a hall to make a chasen or something. That's a wedding hall. You're just you're building a house.
And then even retiling took us month and a half just for the concrete to settle in so we could retile. It took Pierre a week to jackhammer and put as many holes as they could in where they weren't supposed to. And it took us three weeks.
They were supposed to put those holes, but they didn't.
They put holes in the wall next to the front door. They put holes.
You have to ask yourself, why did Hashem want them to do that? And then you have to doubt about it.
Well, I kept reminding my
wife.
Help
herself things.
Should be, yeah. You're supposed to think that way.
Then the contractors eventually fixed everything.
That's better than usual.
I mean, sending him daily emails.
Excellent. That's very, very good. They fixed it. That's excellent.
Right now, these are halakhas or thoughts that could be anybody. Not could be. But this is not strictly Breslov ideology regarding.
No. 100%. I did some nothing here and there a little bit on the Rebbe about the Yira, but not necessarily, not always. The Spirit of the Lord is not always only Breslov. That's just the way it is. Sometimes it's more and sometimes it's less. Haircuts. You see, you shouldn't take a haircut in the week of when Tisha B'Av's in it, whether his hair or anywhere else, his head or anywhere else. Some people, like us from the 17th of Tammuz, do this. And a beard, anything that gets in the way of eating is okay. The Chaim Palagi says, if you beard and you have a very full mustache, so he said, I guarantee you're eating milk and meat together. Guarantee it. Because you're going to have pieces sometime left in here. So you have to, that means wash very well with soap if that's what you're holding. That's at least, because you're for sure eating bustle b'chol. If you have this hot soup and you're like, and you have meat, you have the old cheese, and like you're just cooking, you're doing everything, all the good things. Nebuch, don't do it. Get rid of it. So it's permitted whenever it's necessary, if it's necessary. You're not even allowed to, he says, and the person, even if you're a father of a child who needs to have bris milah and the tzaddik, you may not take a haircut during this week when Tisha B'Av comes out.
You don't do it?
He says no.
Postpone it for a whole week?
No, not postpone. You can't take a haircut. Yeah, exactly. That's all we're talking about. Do the bris on time. Haircut. Someone actually came to the yashiv. It was Simchas Torah, and the doctor says it's dangerous, they're ill, and this doctor says it's okay, and they didn't know what to do, they showed him the baby, what do we do? He's like, you make the bris, but there's 20 minutes of shkia, so let's get a meeting together, make it here, my neighbor's in the mile, we'll just have no choice for Mr. Shkia. So the mamish did it on the eighth day, not tomorrow. The relatives, go up, you'll make the meal with them. He was like, now, we're doing it now. He explained it like very nicely, but like they were done before the shkia, they rushed it a little bit. But you can't know that nothing moves a bris. I mean, Kippur doesn't move a bris. Nothing. If the child's not well, nothing else moves a bris to possible.
But John, you see, you have to be really careful.
You better know what you're doing. You better really know what you're doing.
doing. What are you talking about? It's his own law. It's not pashut. Shem Yerachim.
And at times, judges can be hard to spot.
Usually the more of them know. I mean, there's a maestro to Rebbe Tzarebi. The Rebbe Tzarebi, one time he called with this big Chabad. I forgot his name. He'll be the Sandik and he'll be the Mayo. So the Rebbe Tzarebi to the Milan, the baby started bleeding and turned blue. Stopped breathing. He's dabbling and crying and dabbling. And then after like 10 minutes, just woke up somehow. And it was normal, chill, everything's fine. So this guy, this is a Chabadnik, big Ovid in Chabad, he said, I think his name was Zamalev. He said, Zamalev, I will no longer be Sandik at a bris for you, the Moel. I just can't do it anymore. It's too much pressure for me. This is too much. This is not my. You know what he do wrong. It doesn't matter. I can't handle this. This is too much. You have to know where you're holding.
I had a jaundice kid, and the doctor couldn't get the jaundice to do anything but go up. And he said, well, he says, this is what we're going to do. This has to be in 8 days, and it takes a couple of hours to give your kid a complete blood transfusion. And hopefully the organs that are not functioning will function, and then you have the burst. That's what we did.
Wow.
Blood transfusion, and we had the burst.
That's
the organs kicked in. Couldn't get the organs to kick in. He was a neonatologist. He wasn't like just some doctor. It's a guy who specializes in this stuff.
Not push it.
Yeah. Now I blame everything. Oh. Now
it's his fault. It's good. So what if Tisha B'Av is on Sunday or on Shabbos? The Mechaber says both weeks are okay. There's no week with Tisha B'Av in it, and that's it. He said, but the custom, some say the custom is the week before also. He said, but it's proper not to take a haircut right before the Shabbos of Tisha B'Av. It's going to be Tisha B'Av on Sunday, and you're going to walk in like, really, you know, that's not okay. That's how he explains.
Yeah, there's no wedding.
Exactly. The shot is all very nice, but fine. So, property to read again by day. You don't have to. It's proper to read again by day. You don't have to. But by night.
And the computer service doesn't count. You have to be in a show. You can't watch it.
Not really, no. You can, if you want, if you have to, for some reason, if someone's in a very remote place, and he says, well, I don't have anyone to read the Megillah for me, he can look it on a screen and say it along with the Bakore. That works. But once you have a book in front of you, have a map in front of you, or whatever you have in front of you, so that'll work. But not the chain of clue by day. Maybe it's got some value, it's not so clear. I mean, so the Zalman says it's not a person saying it. It's like turning a tape recorder. What's the difference? He's saying it now. It's the same electronic same thing. You're not hearing a voice. You're hearing something which is transmitting that. Now, Moshe has, he says, if there's no choice, you have a widow in the hospital, an older lady, and no one can get to her. She's really remote. She's near Abdullah. She feels bad. He says you can do it by phone if you have to, which is a chiddush. That's a very very novel. To be, because Rosh Hashanah says, the Yashar also like, what's he hearing? Nothing. You may as well turn on the tape. You don't have tapes in your work, so not a person. But there are people who might be leading it, but mostly not.
So it's not like Rosh Hashanah, where you want the people go out in the hospitals and stuff and blow a shofar. It's not like that. Where people run out to hospitals and say, yeah.
No. Much less. That's what's done. And again,
sure.
It's better in person, but can.
I do that. My kids are far away.
Yep, sure. Good.
You know, you can say, you can respond. Amen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Does it have that much meaning that I mean? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it could be. It's not that I mean for nothing.
Right.
Told me right. Even emails, people like, I mean, that's what I'm saying is.
The kids are in the IVF and they bless them as is, you know, they're thinking of their child.
Wow. Mezuzah Zaz Mavis. This is a very powerful. Maybe a little bit. We'll get there. When the time comes, we'll finish Chayot Torah. I think he has a section on it. This is its own thing.
Speaking of that, my daughter-in-law, her mother's still in L.A., and so she calls her up right before Shabbos, our time, and blesses her.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. The way it's coming out here, more or less, he's saying his own thing, but if you want to take it, people, very, very simple, on a simple, simple level, we have Bechinah that's called hair. It represents din, it represents unruly, it's like something. It's a higher level, but on a simple level, it's such a thing. A person is very, something unkempt about it, it's very wild-like. A lot of hair. So you have Yaakov and you have Esau. Esau, that the bechina of a lot of hair. Yaakov, nothing. There's a bechina where, in this time, we have Esau sort of has his koach. On Tisha B'Av, every day, there's 365 negative commandments, right? The negative commandment that Tisha B'Av the Zohar says is not to eat Gilanusha, because Yaakov was grabbed there on Tisha B'Av. That's what the Zohar brings. So you see that Tisha B'Av is the time when Esav gets his koach. So the time leading up to Tisha B'Av depends on your customs. Part of it is the 9 days, or for us it's 3 weeks. Rishka also brings up, there's 9 days, or at least the week before Tisha B'Av, where we don't cut our hair. We are sort of, again, we're under this koach of Esav. We're not in a place yet where we can just throw him out.
So, could you say that again? Esav got his blessing?
No, Esav was an aspect of, he had his bechina of hair. And on this a much deeper level, but on a simple level, it means he's unruly and wild. This aspect's all growing out. And Yaakov was not like that. There was not, it's not these judgments. It was just very, you know, warlike. It's a different aspect, different element of who he was. So now, because Esav has a koach on us on Tisha B'Av, that's when the angel grabbed the sciatica nerve of Yaakov. We get an usher. We don't eat the Gananusha for that reason, even a kosher animal. So not kosher. You get an usher, you're not allowed to eat it. So we are grasped. We are under the dominion of this. Sarabasov now, it's not a great time. It's not a great time for us. So therefore, again, we see this, you don't, you know, go to judgment with a non-Jew, you stay away from a lot of things. The mazel is diminished in a certain way. So therefore, we're careful not to, I don't want to look up my hair. I'm not holding a place where I can overcome the Sarabasov, this whole Bechir. And for care, on the contrary, Shabbos we cut our hair, because we cut our hair, we're able to overcome the Sarabes. That's more or less, I mean, that's not what he's saying here. He said it before, I think, though. He says something a little different, a little deeper. But it's told, what is the beginning of hair, Kabbalistically, it's very beautiful, but I think this is good for now. I think he said it before, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Are there universes in here?
Hmm?
Are there universes in here?
I'll tell you what the Ramchal says. The Ramchal says we have four levels, 6,000 years. It goes up to different aspects until you get to this place called Atik. Atik is the highest level of Keser. Higher nine elements of Keser is called Atik Yomin. Atik Yomin is also the entrance hall, the entrance way into Olam Haba. Olam Haba is going to go to the higher level, the source of the senses from on high. So there's a Bechin that's called the mouth of Adam Kadmon, the nose of Adam Kadmon, the ears of Adam Kadmon, and the hair of Adam Kadmon. It says 7,000 years, the first 1,000 after 6 is the mouth. The next is the nose, then you get to Bechin of its ears, and then you get to the hair. And hair is completely hidden. That's why it's called hair. It's not hair. It's not a physical hair. It's totally hidden. It's tubular to bring down a shefa, but it's so small compared to what there is. It's like it's dead. It's hidden all. So that's what it means. That's a little bit what it's about. And he's bringing the Zohar and like different things. But that's like the first thing. Your hair is a very high. That's why the Nazir didn't cut his hair, because his aspect of where the hair is not anymore. It's like he gave this level of arich of atik of these. Where it's good, they're good hair. Like it's different. That's why it's not a kashmir. Mr. Bua says that he holds that hair is a hefsek for tefillin. When you put tefillin on, you have to have short enough hair so it's not in the way, it's not on the hair. The Hashulchan says, listen, it's not right to wear a big chup, you know, because it's not, that's the way the nations always did, not Jewish people, but to say it's a hefsek, he said, I mean, it's the body, it's part of the body, it shouldn't be, it's okay. He discharges his obligation as well. So the question they asked him, Shabura, is like, what about a Nazir? Nazir had a weird son, he wasn't ever wearing that hair. He could be a Nazir for many years. Nazir old, he could do lots of things. How did he? So he says things very fast, like, comes out and he explains. He says, usually hair is a hefsek because it's thin. He said, but his hair and the Nazir hair is all, it's something else, it's fine. It's like a different, Kabbalistic is not a problem. That's also why the Levim had to cut all their hair. They were embodied in. That's why the I heard of one very, very stellar posik, gigantic posik, who said, it's hard for me to understand someone who says that they always used to have payas because the Levim used to have to cut all their hair. There were different obligations where people had to cut hair and they didn't. It's obvious they didn't keep payas. So the question is a non-starter, Lenari. It's like, what do you mean? He's different hair, he's a different hair, and he's a different hair. It's not very, has no relevance to a regular hair. He's din, so he has to cut all his hair. He's this Bechina, so he has to cut. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. It's got no, it doesn't show anything at all. But on the step, when you learn, you know, when you learn the real Torah, you don't see that. When you learn the Re, it's very cool. That's like very, 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 like it's very, I mean, he talks about it in the Friday, about cutting hair. It's like, in this very high place, a very, very not Tasha, what the hair is. Like you said, yeah, there are many worlds that are hair. There's not by accident that the Rebbe said when you move your paya, you move in many worlds. It's a big, big, big thing. It's big, it's not simple. If we knew anything, we'd be very happy and very busy. But we don't know anything, so we do our best for Hashem. And try to remember Hashem whenever we can. What do you mean, why are no? Because music is din.
Okay.
Music is din. Music is din. You're trying to evoke something. You're belting it out. You've got to get it right. The right notes, picking and choosing. Music is din. That's what Levi is. Levi means connecting. He's connecting you. He's connecting you to the apartment. You shouldn't be disconnected. That's what he was supposed to do. That was Korach. Korach also. That was the Medrash says Korach was Kireach. It's called Korach because Korach means bald. He was bald. He's a lady. He cut all his hair, and his wife started laughing. So you see Moshe Rabbeinu, he hates your guts. He made up this stupid law just to embarrass you. That's what she said. You look so ugly. No hair. Nothing. Like, that's what the message says. So the Korach, the Chidushim points out, he had a great question on Hashem. Why wasn't I chosen? Why did I was put aside? Hashem put aside. Someone, my junior, he was higher than I. What's going on? So, the Chidushim said if he only would have held on, the Zohar says if he would have waited, he would have had a good answer. He was supposed to be a lazy gozel and make the ticking of everything ticks. He couldn't wait. He said goodbye. In trouble and messed up and whatever.
And is Korach a begirbel?
Oh yeah, sure. Of course, he fixed the guns in the land. That's what we said. Huh?
Does that guy know who he is?
You don't want the answer. Trust me.
You don't want to know that, do you?
No. It's called Don't Be Like Korach. You can bring in like this bechina. It's not a good bechina. I mean, eventually it's going to be fixed. Because machlok is just supposed to wake you up and make machlok with the bad, not with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the... But the Korach is going to be totally fixed. Right now he's in his bechina, he's in Gehenna every 30 days. This is Moshe Emes, Tosh Emes. Whatever that means. What does that mean? Where is he? How is he? What's the... I don't know what happens. Right, he's suffering, everybody's suffering. Pinchas also had a question. Why was he chosen a Kohen? Pinchas is waiting. And he wasn't chosen the coin because he was supposed to be a much higher level than the coin. Get kuna too. Here you go. You have it. Plus more. Plus. Unbelievable. He got like multi. Unbelievable what he got. An ore, and he was able to live forever. Like, when you have this ore, you're fine. He lost it. He came back. And he just. Amazing. Where was he? Who was he? So you don't know. He waited. Korach had to wait. And we would be a lot happier these days.
But he did.
He didn't. He didn't
he
wait.
He did everything he was supposed to do.
He did everything, but he didn't wait. He just needed to accept and say, Moshe didn't make it up. My dear wife, Moshe didn't make it up. Hashem told him, he wouldn't. He doesn't make things up. He's accepted. He's trying to throw it down. Korach said, no, I carry Dorna Kodesh. I'm the highest of the high. Rav Nassim says he wasn't even punished. He said he had no punishment for it. Nothing. His only problem was that he said, Hashem, divest me from this Moshe. I don't want him. We don't want him. We don't need him. We're all holy. Here, I carry the Ona Kodesh. We're all holy. We're all on level. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, tomorrow we'll work out. Why tomorrow? So the old Yisrael says, Tzadikim can play around with the Shamas. So they go to sleep. They can help the Shamas purify them. So he's hoping they're sleeping. But the Medrash says they stayed up all night talking to Ne'er Shtuyot. They couldn't help them either. Comes the next day and he says, okay, Hashem, divest me from this Moshe. So Moshe said, okay, if you're divested from me, you're on my shoulders. Divested from me, it's not going to be a normal death. It's not going to be such fun. Because you need me. You need me. Mm-hmm. So no. So he didn't have anyone holding him up. He just sank in the ground. Rav Nassim says he wasn't punished. He just, you don't realize, but you're standing on his shoulders. You don't want him. Fine. Everyone's holy. Let's see. Here you go. Let's see if everyone's the same holy or not. The answer is no. Everyone's not the same holy. And the man is the real man. He's the real man. And we have to know our place and say, he's really holy. Or at least maybe he's really holy. Watch out. I'm not holy. You have to know that. I'm not there. Halavai, I wish. Maybe one day. But I'm not going to pretend. Please pretend. Little pretend game. What's the point? It's just a waste of time. That's today's. We'll finish tomorrow. Maybe we'll do.